Welcome to the Serotalk Tech Chat number 3. My name is Michael Loff, and tonight's topic is TV and access to television. Basically, it will be extended into June before stations have to go all digital and the analog stations will at that point be gone. Now, with that said, let's understand, first of all, any people using satellite TV or cable television have nothing to worry about. The only people that are affected are those who use what are called terrestrial broadcasts, meaning you're picking up your existing VHF and UHF stations over the air. So for people doing that, if your TV is not pretty new and digital ready, then it will become useless unless you get a converter box. And what I'd hoped to do was get some information as to which of these boxes may be the most accessible. As of now, I am not getting any vibe that any of them can be initially set up without sighted assistance. And also, there's some concerns that some have better reception or better capabilities to grab a weaker signal, or maybe a signal that you were watching and all of a sudden it fades out. Because one of the downsides from everything that I've observed, both what I read and personally here playing around with HD, is that the signal is pretty much either there or it is not. So this raises some concerns for people who live in low-lying areas, people who live in what are called fringe areas, meaning out of the inner city or 30 or more miles away from the transmitters of the TV stations. There will have to be a secondary part to this discussion when I can come back and give more specific information after speaking with some people who have tested the equipment. My initial conversations, they've said they've tested some of the boxes, but not all of them. And a bigger issue that I think Mike Calvo is going to come in and address shortly has to do with how people in this HD conversion are going to be kind of left behind as far as descriptive video is concerned. There's no standards, and the question is, are stations going to allocate channels for this purpose? I know with the inauguration of U.S. President Barack Obama, it was a situation where people had to tune to their HD2 channel. Again, assuming that their local ABC affiliate made that available for that purpose. Right now, with no standards and mandates, it's going to present some real issues, and it's going to take a lot of activism from those who want to make sure that described video services continue with the HD revolution. We want to make sure that we don't get left behind. But we're not the only entity there that needs to be concerned. There's a lot of issues. There's a lot of concern about people in rural areas who are going to strictly not have any ability to watch TV. Maybe they live somewhere where cable's not an option, so they're going to either have to buy the satellite, or we suspect in some cases maybe elderly persons end up doing without television. But also you have the inner city areas where people can't afford it, and they depend and thrive on local terrestrial television signals. And if those signals aren't there, and some would argue that whether it's February 17th or June 12th, either way, you know, it's going to be a surprise. They're going to wake up one day and that TV's not going to work. Make sure that people are informed so that they know that if they don't have the money, they can get one of these boxes. And the belief is that many of the allocated billions for stimulus will allow some more of these coupons so that they can, maybe with a $40 voucher, spend another $20 or $30 and continue to be able to watch television, as opposed to being manipulated, as we've seen in some cases, by stores saying, oh no, you've got to buy this $1,200 TV set. So that's some of the problems that have been observed. What we're going to kind of talk about tonight has to do more with internet or computer-based TV, using your PC to watch TV, and we're going to talk about a couple of ways that that is done. I can talk about my personal experiences, which include the use of a software called Beyond TV, which you can get at beyondtv.com, that basically the software itself is not overly accessible. You can't enter the channel numbers, and if you memorize it, you can start recording. But the main element is web-based software, and that is totally accessible. That allows you to choose the stations that you want to watch. First of all, you would kind of choose your market, in my case, Evansville, Indiana. Then it would show me all of the stations that I have available to me to watch. Or I should say the network options for that purpose. So in other words, okay, you have two cable companies, in my case, WOW, which is acronym for Wide Open West, based headquartered in Colorado, or Insight, which is a Midwestern company serving about 5 states, or the ATTUverse, or your two satellite options, Dish or DirecTV, or your analog, local analog, meaning the terrestrial stations that are on the air right now until they're forced to leave the airwaves, and the digital stations. So you choose which one of those, and then you have a list of those stations available to you. Within that, if you like, you can go and deselect certain stations if you know you never watch them. 30 of these you never watch, you can exclude those so that those are never shown, because otherwise it would take you quite a while to look through the listings. And then what you have then is it shows you each of the remaining stations what's coming up in the next 2 hours. So if there's anything you want to record, you can just start recording it right then and there. Or if you know what show you want, you can search for it, and then you can set up recording patterns to record it. The resolution, how high do you want HD quality, or do you want something, a lower bandwidth quality to save space on your hard drive? Because recording video, and especially HD TV, can eat up quite a bit of hard drive space, a couple gig an hour, which can quickly add up. So you have the ability to set those things. You also have the ability to say, do I want to record every episode? Do I want to just do a one-time recording? Or do I want to do a feature I like called First Run, meaning that you will get each episode one time. And it's smart enough to keep track of what you already recorded so that it won't. So if there's a favorite show that you like, Law and Order or Everybody Loves Raymond or something, and you want to record every episode, not duplicate, so it remembers what you recorded and then doesn't record subsequent episodes after it sees that you already got one copy of that. So that kind of carries over from the PVR, the standalone TV that a lot of people use. And there's also options you can go into for skipping commercials. And what it does basically is records it and then afterward goes through and does its best guess to edit out those commercials. That does take a little bit of time, so you either want to have it do that overnight or make sure that you don't want to use your computer for a while if you opt for that. And there's actually some better software for that purpose if you want to start removing commercials. It's called Video Redo. But we cannot condone that, but that is some software that people use to accomplish that purpose. So what you're talking about is a TV tuner card. Those generally cost about $69. There's a variety of different ones. There's Lead Tech. There's all kinds of units out there. And each has their own software. Some of it's accessible in certain ways and maybe other ways not. Mentioned Lead Tech because a gentleman in Australia told me he uses that, and I've had that before. And I remember one of the keys for that was the S key, which toggled you between stereo, mono, and SAP. So that was kind of a handy feature. A lot of them a little more complicated to get into the SAP mode to hear described video if you had a PBS or some local station providing that. So this software itself, Beyond TV, is, well, it used to be $69. $30 module for direct DVD burning, which now they've incorporated and you have no choice. So unfortunately, that software has gone up to $99. And if you want the ability to interface with a satellite, you're probably talking another $70. So you're talking anywhere from $140 up to a little bit over $200 to pursue this. But there are certain cards where you can use the built-in software and maybe get it down to a $70 investment. But it is nice to have something like Beyond TV. And certainly there are other services where you can get the same information. But it's very nice because you can record it, the shows, who's starring in the shows. You know what the episode is going to be about. So we are then on equal par with our sighted counterparts. Because maybe there's a particular series we watch and there were certain episodes that we really liked and we want to record those, and maybe others that we thought were kind of lame, we could exclude those and say, no, I don't want that one. I just did not like that particular episode. Maybe someone tells you about a show, you can go read about it and find out who the characters are. So that's Beyond TV. That's what I use. There's also a plugin for Winamp, and I will post a link to it in the show notes. I think the last version was called 2.0 Beta 19, so I guess he never got it to his level of Nirvana. And of course, he was a college student, and like college students, once they graduate, they, you know, start a family and move on to other projects. But this will allow you, as long as analog TV exists into June, or if you have cable TV, so that you can still get the channels on those numbers, 2 through 80, tune through them with the standard Winamp controls, label them if you want, so that as you're going over that channel, it tells you what it is. Take a break from that right now, and I want to let Mike Calvo talk about some concerns. He's certainly been a pioneer going way back in the day of doing PC-based television, and I know he also has some thoughts on our concerns with DVS. So, Mike, take it away.
I'm a pioneer. I was way back in my wagon. Anyway, good evening, folks, and welcome to our tech chat. You know, I heard Michael's beginning here, and while there is quite a bit of concern, I want to kind of balance what Michael was saying, which of course is the more negative side of this transition, by saying that studies show that 85% of American households, now that still leaves a whole lot of households out, but 85% of American households get their their TV information, whether it be through cable or satellite or whatever. So you're talking about 15% of the people here, and that is a lot, but it certainly is not an epidemic by any stretch of the imagination. There are going to be some bumps in the road. I think that a lot of the techie community would agree that and a lot of debate on podcasts, on web forums, on blogs has been, well, what's the difference, you know, between February 12th and you know, February 17th or whatever it was, and June 12th, and what's the big deal? You know, it's going to happen. There's going to always be some sort of a screw up. It you know, the Y2K situation kind of comes to mind with me, and it's just like us Americans to kind of cry wolf when something is going to disrupt our little lives, and especially when it comes to our entertainment. So, you know, there's a lot of other alternatives. For those of you here, of course, you have access to the internet. And, you know, Michael's brought up some great things for terrestrial television and for cable, but there's also things like Hulu. All of the networks have Fox, NBC, ABC, CBS, even, you know, HBO, and all of these, many of these networks have Showtime. They all have content that you can check out on the internet. So heck, for blind people, as far as I'm concerned, who the heck needs a TV sometimes? I mean, there's enough content out there. What I am very concerned about, I believe I speak both for the NFB and the ACB, who have expressed concern here in the States, is about descriptive video programming. For emergency broadcasts, for all of these things, and for just for entertainment purposes. It seems to me that just once we finally got over that hump and they're starting to produce described video programming, here comes the nasty FCC to take away the technology that was being used and to further kind of put us back in the Stone Ages, because all of these boxes have push buttons and you know, or menus and things like that to get into the SAP mode, if there is such a thing. You know, it's a challenge. This is an opportunity, though, for blind folks to get up and be heard. Do not, and this is so important, that you, the person listening to this tech talk, and the person that you, I hope, have passed this tech talk onto that was not able to be here tonight or maybe not even have access to the internet, you are important. Your voice counts. Do not buy the BS that we've been fed for years and years, that we are a community of people that don't matter, that we're too small a niche market. There are hundreds of millions of blind people on this planet. Do not buy it. Do not stand for it. Do not accept it as status quo. You have a voice every day when you wake up in the morning and you put your feet on that floor and you go brush your teeth. You've already made a consumer decision. Every day that you drink your breakfast coffee or you eat your breakfast cereal or you put on your underwear or you brush your hair or you brush your teeth, you've already made a consumer decision. Therefore, if you have made consumer decisions, you have the right as a consumer to stand up.
Instant message holding.
What you want. And listen, if you can't go to the radio or into the television stations and they won't listen to you, then go to the darn sponsors and tell them, listen, I am not going to buy your products again unless you insist that these people start having descriptive video on these programs that you are putting your advertising in. Let me tell you something. Kraft has sponsored some descriptive video stuff. Hallmark has been huge. All of the Hallmark stuff on CBS has been described. A lot of that stuff you can hear on our network. And that has just been the way that Hallmark deals with its consumer. So again, your voice matters. If there's anything that you walk away from this tech talk today, is to understand that the reason this is not a blind bitching session. That's not what we're here to do. We're not here to gripe and complain. We are here to inform the community. We want you to go out. Don't sit on your duff and do nothing. Go out there and make sure that people understand that there is an issue going on with described video. There's an issue going on with accessibility to these boxes. And we are blind people that need to be heard. And the only way we're going to be heard is if we speak up. So That's all I'm going to say about the issues of we have some challenges, some technological ones, and some knowledge on the behalf of these boxes. Michael is very diligent about finding information. But there's an article that's going to be available in the show notes once this is published that will talk about it. I forget which one of the groups put it out, but it was a very informative article about what descriptive video or the lack thereof is going to mean for us as blind folks. Remember that Serotech has kind of unofficially or officially or what have you made itself kind of the keeper of the descriptive video. We don't charge any extra for it. If you are a user of our community, you know that we have access to tons and tons of descriptive video, and it's available here, and it's in a protected format, so you can download it to your Victor Stream and your Level Star products, your Braille Plus, and your Level Star Icon, and there's other products coming down the pike, but it's really important that we let people know that we want to be heard in this respect, that we have a voice. If you're up on Twitter, if you're up on Facebook, if you can get a petition together, whatever it is you can do, blind person, you have a voice, you have a place on this internet, you have a voice that can be heard, and it will be heard. Believe me, write to the administration. The new administration is very receptive. They're very open to the word of the people and what the people have to say. Go out to change.gov, go to whitehouse.gov, go to your congressman's websites, wherever it is you need to go. If you've got time to launch a campaign on the internet, by all means, do it. It would not be the first nor the last time that our community has mobilized. This message on the System Access Mobile Network alone will go out to thousands of users. Okay. So make sure you thousands of users that hear this, that you will then get it out. If each one of you get it out to two or three people, that will be tens of thousands of users. So let's make sure that we get the word out, because we don't want to be left in the digital darkness coming up. So, Michael, now it's back to you.
Yes, very good points. And, of course, the future, as you'd mentioned, is on demand. And we're going to talk about that, some different resources out there, Hulu and WWI-TV, and a new website I found today for searching for video on demand, which has over 18 million hours of good stuff to choose from. But I think before we go there, let's see if we have any questions about what we've talked about so far as either using Winamp or Beyond TV software.
Hey, Mike. It's Mike in St. Louis. I had a question with regard to the satellite and the cable with these tuners. What about, of course, satellite's all digital, and a lot of times with the cable now, I mean, if you get digital cable, some of the channels might still be analog, but a lot of them are digital. Are there cards that you can connect to your computer where you basically plug in the coax cable from either the cable or the satellite, and you can get those channels, off of the satellite, or basically the card has the ability to convert or descramble it? Or if you use satellite or digital cable, do you basically have to connect your cable still to your cable or satellite box and then connect the tuner card either through maybe RCA cables or another coax cable that way and still have your box actually pick up the channels? Or are there ways now for the digital cable and satellite channels for some computer tuners to pick that up natively without even messing around with, the satellite receivers?
Well, from everything I read, it's a third-party, it's another $70 box that you would interface between the digital cable box or your satellite receiver that would allow you to receive those digital signals and perhaps even more importantly, to communicate to change the cable TV top receiver to that channel to record it. So, again, that's why I was talking about the third-party $70 device. TV is going to an on-demand realm. So whether it's online, a lot of cable companies now have the PVRs for time shifting and recording, and we need to make sure that somehow we have access to that. So if it's not directly in the system itself, that either we have USB and some kind of remote control software so that we can manipulate that box, set it up to record and retrieve those shows. Online resources for watching TV. Now, first, as far as we blind folks, a lot of times we have specific shows we want to watch, but some people like myself, the main thing we want from local TV is our local news. And many stations are putting the newscasts, either the full newscast or individual stories, up on the website almost as soon as they're broadcast. And I've seen that in effect when I did some segments at Fox 7 here. It's a very interesting system that it says, okay, this segment's going to run from 10:05 to 10:08, and then by 10:09, it's posted on the website. So I would encourage you, if you're interested in local news, and if for some reason you can't watch it when it's live, or you only want to see the certain stories, or maybe get the best of newscasts from a few different stations, to say, for example, Mike in St. Louis, you want to see the best of what's on channel 2, 4, and 5, or whatever stations are running news there, that you can go to the individual websites and get the selected stories of interest. So that's one way. Now, for shows, what we have, at least in the U.S., is a great resource called Hulu that Mike mentioned, HULU.com. And you can sign up for an account if you want, but it's not necessary. And, of course, we have direct links to it. Now, to make your life simple, right in our TV section under SamNet. But what you have essentially at Hulu is a variety of different TV shows and movies available. And you can watch those shows. And while they do have a commercial or two embedded in the show, they're still much shorter than watching them on mainstream television. So, and for anyone with partial vision, the quality is very good. That's one of the very impressive things, is that the video looks really good. And if you have surround sound speakers, you will notice that many of the shows, like Saturday Night Live, is surround sound. I don't really see them take a lot of use of that, other than, of course, the crowd, the audience. You can hear the surround sound of the audience in your rear channels and things. But it's kind of cool. It adds a lot of effect and makes you feel like you're in the room as the event is happening. So Hulu, I would encourage anyone to take a look at that, HULU.com. And, of course, those outside of the U.S., and we can't really go into how you would do it, but there are technologies to make yourself appear as though you reside in the U.S., giving you an IP address here that would allow you to take advantage of U.S. content. Now, another resource I just found is called IxQuick, and this was emailed to me, IxQuick.com. And basically what it does is it interfaces with multiple search engines to help find video content, other things as well. They also claim to be one of the world's most accurate resources for phone numbers internationally, so you can give that a try if you get a call from somewhere, or get an international phone number and want to find out exactly where it resides, you can do that. But IxQuick, I used it, was testing their claim of 18 million hours of video content on demand, and I tried some different things like Barack Obama and BBC and just different things and seeing what kind of results I got, and it was pretty good. And it takes you to the page, and then you can get the respective stories. So that was a good resource for watching things on demand. You want the news. The days of waiting until 6:30, for the evening news, for many people are becoming an end, because even those evening newscasts are available on demand, 60 minutes on demand. Now, you have to wait till midnight Sunday evening, but you can go and get a lot of your popular news magazines when it's convenient for you. And at least for now, they're, many of them are not including any commercials, maybe just some banner ads on the webpage, and I assume eventually they will be putting more ads in the shows, but still much shorter than watching them, quote-unquote, live or at a designated time. So that is the future, on demand, and I think if we embrace that, it's going to open up a world of opportunity, allowing us to watch things when it's convenient for us. And that really is the future. That's where things are going. But if you do like conventional television, you like the concept of an ongoing station and want to see things as they occur,
instant message holding,
you have the ability. Of course, there are many U.S. networks that have their streams online, especially the shopping channels. They do financial very well by letting you go to Home Shopping Network or QVC or, any of those, the MSNBC shopping channel, whatever they call it. And, some of the movie channels, and of course, there's all kinds of trailers for shows. So there's a wealth of material out there, and the definite 21st century, the future of it is on demand. And I think that's a good thing. I really, we have to adjust to it. It's a new way of viewing television or listening to audio segments, but it really is the future, and it makes a lot of sense. But we just may have to advocate in certain cases as our cable companies go toward that model. And some are concerned that that is why they're putting these bandwidth caps on right now, saying you only get so many megabytes or gigabytes, because they know in the future people will start watching TV on demand. And A, that's going to eat up a lot of bandwidth, which is a legitimate concern, but also that we need to be concerned because they may be feeling that, well, people are going to quit paying for TV channels and just start watching TV online, so we might be recruiting some of our money by getting extra revenue from them using too many gigabytes of data as they start watching TV online. So we may have to be advocates for that, or maybe making switches with our internet service provider to make sure that we get enough bandwidth, enough gigabytes to watch all the data that, you know, all the video and everything that we want to do. So again, I will stop and see if we have any questions about anything that we've talked about this evening, or if anyone has any thoughts or any personal experiences. Okay, hearing nothing. One network that a lot of people use is called WWITV. It's for Worldwide Internet TV. And this is a list of a few thousand stations throughout the world who broadcast their signals. Now, you have to keep in mind when you're talking international TV that, well, two factors. One, they're not all on 24/7, so they're selective hours. So just because it doesn't work for you doesn't mean that the station is not there. They just have limited hours. Some maybe broadcast 5 hours a day. I know certain countries like Brazil, and I'm not picking on them because there's a lot of them, different times and places, and they have limited broadcast schedules. But also, we in the U.S. are very fortunate to have almost endless bandwidth to do what we need, but many other countries do not afford that luxury. So maybe the stations can only support a very limited number of simultaneous users or viewers. Or even if you can...
Hello?
Hello?
Yes, I would like to know if how accessible system access is with the Leadtex WinFast TV FM TV tuner card.
As far as I know, I think it works great. We'll see if anyone in here is using WinFast.
Where would I find keystrokes for your program?
For system access? Well, you would go to help.samobile.net, and you'll get a list of all of our help, and there's a section specifically for hotkeys that will give you hotkeys for both the system access screen reader as well as the hotkeys for the various functions of the system access mobile network. So just go to help.samobile.net, and you'll get a lot of great information there as well. Well, we have a phone call. Let's see who that could be on the phone here.
Call from 6189.
All right. Yeah, man.
Yeah, man. Hello, is that Scotty?
Yes, sir.
What's going on, Scotty? Hey, why don't you tell folks
what... Much, man,
why don't you tell folks what you do for TV there in Australia? What kind of TV card do you have?
Basically, I've got an analog TV card, a PCI, and it's a Leadtex. I think the model is about 2 years old or something. I think it's in WinXP TV 2000 or something like that. The software is okay to use, not the most brilliant, but you can get around the channel listing fine. You can actually, it's got a built-in FM radio as well. And, yeah, to actually browse up and down the channels, you can either use your arrow keys, your up and down arrows, your left and right to adjust the volume. And you can also press the numbers on the top row of the keyboard to move between the channels. And it's also got an MPEG encoder built in as well.
Okay, and someone asked about its use with system access. That works okay?
Yeah, it actually works really well with system access. Actually works better with system access than the competitors, actually, which I'm very happy about. It's also got the built-in, over here it's called 7-Tex. It's kind of like your Teletex. I don't know whether you guys have that over there, where certain channels transmit text on stock quotes and other type information. You can actually access that information through the software also.
And are you able to record, or do you record any shows?
It does have recording capabilities built in, which I don't have, or I've never used. I know with the newer digital cards from the same company, you can actually access the electronic program guide, which every channel transmits, the free-to-air channels, and when you click on the name of a show, it'll actually schedule it in the built-in software scheduler for recording, which is really cool.
Yeah, as I recall, I was able to record with it. What I couldn't do was set up events for time shifting, like when I wasn't there. As I recall, it's real easy to start recording while you're watching a show and say, yeah, I'll take that show. But the time shifting, and this has been 5 or 6 years, so I'm sure it's changed quite a bit.
The software seems to get more accessible as time goes by, on the PC, that is. I've been looking for an alternative for the Mac to work with system access on the Mac, but so far, the Mac software, or the Mac software is not that good for the TV tuners, but that Windows and System Access go good, and it seems to also work with Windows 7 public beta as well.
Oh, very good. We like hearing that. Now, what kind of channels do you have to choose from over there? Do you have US-based channels, or what do you have to choose from? How many channels, and what kind of program? Well, you have been in US once. I don't
basically
know if you can
compare them. Yeah, we've got cable over here, cable TV or satellite TV if you're in a remote location. Regarding US channels, we've got certain channels on the cable service such as CNN, Bloomberg, Discovery Channel. I think it's US based. We've got that. We've got the National Geographic. Now, National Geographic is more Australian type stuff, but the Discovery Channels and the Crime Investigation Network, I think, is US-based as well. With the free-to-air over here, we've only got 5 channels. Actually, I think there might be 6, but in my area, I can only get 5, which is channels 2, 7, 9, 10, and SBS, which is a special broadcasting service that transmit news and other shows in foreign languages. So that's pretty much that. But I much prefer cable than the free-to-air stuff, which is actually in stereo, which is very cool. But we've also got a new thing coming out very shortly this year called FreeView, which is meant to be free-to-air digital TV, which I haven't actually explored much of. But from what I've been reading, the channels actually are in 5.1 sound, and the picture quality is really, really good. And from what I've been told, there's about 12 channels and more to come. So that should be really cool to play with.
Do you have any... Are your portals going online? Do you have online choices like we do in the States where you can watch shows on demand or certain channels that are online from Australia?
There is one portal here that the ABC offer called iView, which allows you to watch shows that have been previously aired in the last 7 days, and it's quite accessible, and it's not too bad. It's very similar to the portal that the BBC have, where you can actually watch some of their shows that have been aired in the past, and it's quite good. I have used it, and the good thing I like about it is my particular broadband provider, all that content from that particular portal is not counted towards your download limit, so you can watch as much of that TV from that portal as you wish.
Yeah, it's interesting because these download caps are kind of new to us, but that's everyday fare in Australia, isn't it? And you have to be mindful of that, your bandwidth.
Yeah, pretty much you do, yeah. Most of the caps over here, I wish we had the great caps that you guys have got over there, 200 gigabytes of traffic, or 250 gig, whatever the case may be. I've forgotten what the figure was.
Well, some of that's Comcast. Some are as low as 5 gigabyte.
Okay. Yeah, over here I've got 25 gigabytes a month, and I don't go over that. But I think this month I've used about maybe 15 gig, but I've been downloading movies from iTunes and that as well, and that works really well with System Access also, and some TV shows.
Now, what's the TV news like there? Do you have the news like 5, 6, and 10 p.m. like we do here in the States, or how do they do the news there?
Yeah, we do have the news. Basically, we have news at 5 p.m. on Channel 10, which is just half an hour of news. Then there's the sport and the weather. There's also news at 6 p.m. on Channel 7 and 9. And then there's also the news on Channel 2 at 7 o'clock, and the SBS have it as well. And there's also a channel here in Australia called Sky News, and they have news 24/7 from different organisations such as CNN, NBC, ABC in the US, and the BBC. Very, very good channel, and I listen to that quite often.
Well, very cool. Anything else you want to throw out? Now, you've been in the States. Did you watch much TV here? I'm just curious, comparisons, things that are different between the two countries.
When I was there in 2001 in Louisiana, the person that I was staying with only had analog TV. They didn't actually have cable. So the free-to-air channels, they're okay, but unfortunately, I think she may have lived a little far from the transmission site, so the channels, some of them were quite crackly, and there was a lot of interference, but that was only a couple, I guess. But from what I remember, there were a lot of channels to choose from, more than we have here. There was at least, must have been at least 20 channels, possibly. I don't know what free-to-air offers there. I was under the impression that the analog service is going to be turned off in the U.S. shortly. Is that right or not? Or?
Well, it was extended. It was going to be February 17th, and it's been extended now until June. That was just went through our Congress yesterday, and the president, without doubt, is going to sign that. So it's going to give a few months of time. But right, those fringe signals that you were talking about, they probably won't work anymore. She was probably between two cities, because an average market might have 5 to 7, 8 channels or something like that. I have 8 channels here to choose from. With the HD options, I think it's 12 or 13 with HD2, and a couple of them even have HD3 stations. But, hey, Scotty, thank you.
The only other thing
go ahead.
One other quick thing before I go is that the another brand of TV tuner car that I've heard of that has quite good accessible software is Hodgepodge, I think is how you pronounce it, or Hodgepodge or something like that. Yeah, okay. And it's quite good. I haven't actually played with it, but I've got friends who have got that particular card, and I've heard good things about those cards.
Well, I'm glad you mentioned that, because I have a Hodgepodge card here, and I can tell you one thing you don't want. For HDTV, do not get a USB card. They just, USB, there's not enough throughput. Now, maybe when the new USB 3.0 comes out, maybe that'll be an option, but do not get a USB card for the purpose of HDTV. It'll be jittery, and it just will not work. I was advised, and I ignored the advice, and it was a waste of $99. Nice card, but it's going to be useless here shortly, unless you have a cable system, I guess, and you could run it and watch conventional TV. But, well, thanks for that info, Scotty. We appreciate it.
No worries, Mike. Good to be on, and thanks for having me there.
All right, very good. That's Scott Rakowski in Australia. Thank you, sir. If anyone is interested in starting any petitions to promote any particular efforts, certainly let us know at Serotech, and we will make others aware of your efforts so that those who wish to can sign on to them. One right now asking Disney to put a video description into all of their DVDs, and as of Monday, there were 814 signatures, so many people signing on to that. We have a link in our socializer, and we'll provide that to anyone of interest. We will provide links to all of the websites mentioned tonight, including the nice little plugin for Winamp, which I absolutely love. I think it's very cool just to pop it up and go through the local channels and the news. And of course, if you have cable, you can do that as well. Check out ixquick.com, ixquick.com, hulu.com, hulu.com, and of course, Worldwide Internet TV at www.itv.com.
Hello, it's Susan.
Go ahead with your question, Susan.
I was just wondering if there was any way that a box could be used for... I only have one of those little radios that I use for emergency TV if I need it, and I don't have a TV. I guess that'll be out the window.
I did speak with C. Crane about it and asked him if there were any radios, and they said not as of yet that would be capable of getting the new digital signals. But my understanding is the box is basically you tune your TV to channel 3. So you could hook a cable, depending on what kind of antenna connection it has, if it has like the screw connectors like the old those old RCA TV radios did, or some way that you could connect it, then you could tune that TV radio to channel 3 and continue to do it that way, if that's an option for you. But that's probably about the best you're going to get. And some said some of those converter boxes are mono, So yuck. I mean, they were just designed to put on a low price television, assuming that it doesn't even have stereo. So if you're used to enjoying shows in stereo, that might not even be an option for you. I will be speaking with Larry Goldberg from WGBH this Monday, and that'll be one of the big questions I'll be asking him, is about the variety of boxes, and some are stereo versus others being mono, and if you have to pay more for those, because I understand some of the boxes are over $100, and you have to decide what features you get for that extra money. Is it worth it to you? You know, does it give you audio jacks, or, you know, some kind of headphone jack so you can patch the audio into a stereo system? And that's why I wanted to spend a lot of time talking about PC cards, because I think the most economical way to go into the future here is to do it through your computer. It gives you accessibility, as Scott has talked about with the LeadTech cards, you know, where you can change channels and at least record events there as you're watching it, and toggle between stereo and mono if for some reason you need mono, or SAP options. So, you know, that may be the direction that we need to go, but what we're about is providing options, and we will do some follow-ups on this where we can get more specific about these. Now, one that was recommended to me by Don Coco was Insignia, and he said the reason he went with this, you know, just like it sounds, Insignia, and the reason he went with that particular unit was because it did a better job of getting the signals once they dropped. So in other words, apparently there's some issues of people, you're watching a station, something happens in the environment, you lose the signal, and then the box has to go out and renegotiate it. So, and that's one of the questions I will be asking WGBH and the NFB if they've done that level of research to find out if some boxes are susceptible to problems like routers and interference, you know, microwave ovens, and what things can cause the digital TV signals to fade out. So we'll be doing more research. This will be an ongoing issue over the next 4 months as the rollout. And of course, if there are coupons made available, the $40 coupons or whatever they decide to do, we will make that information available to everyone as well. So with that, we're going to conclude Serotalk Tech Chat number 3. We hope the information tonight has been of some use to you, and stay tuned. We will provide update information as it becomes available to us. And for those who still have some old TVs in the bedroom that they watch over the air terrestrial TV, well, you got another 4 months or so enjoy that, but be mindful that those TVs are going to require some modification or may become a useless piece of electronics. Join us, as always, at serotalk.com. If you have not done so, listen, we got 35, I think, you know, for the most part, very, very interesting interviews with a variety of different folks at ATIA. Unfortunately, I was delayed a day by ICE, or we might have had 50, but we'll see. We can't get some other good stuff up there for you as well, as we made the great opportunity to, and we thank Serotech Corporation for allowing me to interview all folks, regardless of what industry that they are in, so that we can provide people with the greatest wealth of information available. And on that note, I guess I want to conclude by sending my condolences and giving acknowledgement to the late Pat Price, who was the founder and gave a lot of time and money to AccessibleWorld.org. Pat will be sorely missed. I did one presentation over there for the Better Business Bureau, and someone asked a question about getting accessible materials, and I told them to call their local BBB. They contacted the Better Business Bureau in Louisville, and as a result of that, cassettes were put out with information on preventing identity theft. So that was one interaction that I had over there. And of course, Ricky Inger spoke over there one time about our products and services and introduced many people to it. She and the work of AccessibleWorld.org will be sorely missed. And we will do our best, certainly not to replace it, but hopefully we'll be able to at least be one resource to keep people informed of the latest in access technology. So with that, we will say farewell to everyone. Have a great week. Always stay in touch, Serotalk.com. Check the Socializer for the latest news and AT and other interesting stuff. And we'll talk to you soon.